Yeah, what a blessing that the clip has been, and just the insights that we're gaining from that beautiful group of women. Today we're looking at daily bread. And I've been gaining so much through this prayer series myself and through preparing for today. I discovered that the word prayer has its origins in a Latin word, precarious. Isn't that interesting? We pray because life is full of wonder and full of uncertainty. And we pray because we need to connect with something that is certain and that is eternal. And it's really interesting that non-believers report praying, and they pray because life is uncertain. And we know that we're hardwired to want to connect with something that's more solid, more reliable than this life that we live. And so we come to give us this day our daily bread. And what I'm discovering is, although we are sort of triggered to pray in those moments of crisis, it's the daily bread of prayer that teaches me the reliability of God. The daily bread that teaches me of the reliability and presence of God. And isn't it interesting that he chose bread as a symbol? I found out that bread is one of the first foods known to mankind. It's traced back 30,000 years, and in fact, it is universal as a food item on tables. Isn't that interesting? When we think about it, people from all around the world can relate to this. And it got me thinking, I actually want to know who's had their daily bread today? Yep. Online, pop it in the chat. What's your favourite way of having bread? Just call it out, put it in the chat, buttered toast, sandwich, fresh, crusty. Chip sandwich, hot chip sandwich, oh my goodness.
Ice cream sandwich.
In bread? An ice cream sandwich in bread? Okay, all right. Maybe it's banana bread. Who doesn't like a bit of banana bread? That's so relatable, isn't it? This belongs in every household, across all demographics. What's the first thing that we can give a child? Like a rusk was like a really crusty bit when they're teething. And what's the first thing you learn to cook? Toast. It's so relatable. And it tells us a lot about what we're invited into when we come to God. Daily bread. You know, before I ask someone to give me something, I have like three things that run through my head. Do they like me? Are they predisposed to actually want to help me with this thing? What's my past experience been like? Are they in a position to meet my request? And it's exactly the same, isn't it, when we come to God. We have to answer those three things before we're going to ask for our daily bread. And here's what I know. God is creator. I actually worked out how to do the whole universe thing. It's kind of all powerful. And Sandy told us God is Father. God has revealed himself and his love through Jesus. Now, I may know this in my head, but I know with the kenosko heart knowledge. What about you? Here's a quick check. Close your eyes. Online, close your eyes. Now imagine you're praying to God. I want you to think about, what's the expression you see on his face? It tells us a lot about how we know God. God introduces himself to Moses this way. And he passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation." Wow, which God do you see? What a paradox. Because God is love and mercy, and he is just. It's a paradox. God does love us. We do sin. Sin must be dealt with. What a paradox. Thank goodness for Jesus. Now we can breathe, because Jesus dealt with the sin forever. The price of our sin, all of it, paid. Now we get to approach God, who loves us, who wants to be in our lives and give us good things. Daily bread. Whether you're a Jesus follower, or you are beginning to explore, or you would say, "I'm an unbeliever, but I don't know why I'm here, I just am," we can be confident in approaching a loving, patient, forgiving Father. So when you see that expression, he's leaning in. There's love in his eyes. There's interest. You have his attention. And in his presence, we can stop. Stop striving. Stop pursuing. Stop grasping. Stop worrying, like we heard in the clip. We are connected with God's eternal reality. And he understands our circumstances. The personal, detailed, intimate parts of our lives are seen by the Creator of the universe. Mother Teresa says this: "God speaks in the silence of the heart. Listening is the beginning of prayer." Daily bread. It's relational and common. It's not formulaic, and it's not lofty. It's grounded in the here and the now. It's not distant, far off, untouchable. Praying the Jesus way, it's chatting to God. Everyday small talk. It's experiencing God as Adam and Eve did, walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, sharing about the day. Daily bread. Including God in our life, noticing how He is responding to us, experiencing His provision with clarity because it's now and it's yesterday's request seen played out through the week. Suddenly, we begin to notice little intimate details of how He's providing for us. And I don't know about you, but it swells my heart with gratitude. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This God, this creator of the universe who notices us, cares about minute details of our lives and is responsive to our needs. It's so humbling and reassuring. God is continuing to weave His story of redemption through our lives. He's bringing creation back into order to provide a good future for us. That's you and me and all who call Jesus Lord. In Romans 8:28 it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Daily bread means give us daily, wean us off self-reliance. Takes me back to the Israelites' experience in the desert, in the wilderness, where they had no food, and God taught them of His daily provision through providing the manna, weaning them off self-reliance. Praying daily for our needs reminds us that we need God, reminds us of His ability to provide what we need to face each day. Eugene Peterson puts it this way: in prayer, we persistently, faithfully, trustingly come before God, submitting ourselves to His sovereignty, confident that He is acting right now and on our behalf. When we enter into this kind of daily bread, we're asking God to release us from this exhausting, overwhelming pressure to satisfy our desires, even our good desires, through our own means. This is daily bread. Our desire to be in control replaced with trust. Each of us need to consider, do I actually trust God with my current experience in the world. We're transported back to the Garden of Eden, the lure and the illusion of control. Ask vulnerably, with enough specificity that God can surprise you and disappoint you. Ask relationally. God is desiring for you to trust Him as Father. Ask boldly, with empowerment. In fact, so much so that you wonder if you're not a little bit too forthright with that creator of the universe. But here's the challenge that often doesn't get spoken about. What about when our prayers are met with silence? How do we deal with unanswered prayer? The Bible is not silent on this. In James we read, "Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure." We have to check that our prayers are in line with God's law, God's character, God's eternal perspective, and still there are unanswered prayers that line up with all of those things. What do we do with that? We've all got loved ones that we keep asking to come into the kingdom, and some of us have been praying for decades. What do we do with that? Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you, for everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. We persevere, don't we? And there are those unanswered prayers where we have lost people. Wrestling with unanswered prayer is an act of faith. Even Jesus had and has unanswered prayer. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Then he said to them, 'I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me.' And going a little further, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want.'" Wrestling with unanswered prayer is an invitation to draw even closer to God. Let's hear from Tyler Staton and Peter Grigg, the founder of 24/7 Prayer and the author of God on Mute. Check this out. Yeah,
we have to reframe the question why to the question where. Sometimes we just can't understand why. It's instinctive. God, why is this happening? But actually, a far more constructive question that you can always ask when you're struggling and suffering is, God, where are you in this situation. He's promised, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. And so for Sammy and me, you know, if we said, God, why is a brain tumor growing in Sammy's skull when we have a 7-week-old baby? There's not a lot of answers to that.
Right.
But where are you for us right now in this situation? You know, I remember the day we were just desperate and the mail came and a church maybe 5-6 hours away from us had all signed like this card saying they were praying for us. It sounds silly, but that was evidence of the presence and the love of God. Or suddenly a Christian nurse comes to our bedside. So just little things that were like, okay, God, all I need to know, I don't actually need to understand this. I just need to know you're with me. And as kids, we learned to do, all of us did this as kids. You know, we could trust that which we did not understand. As we get older, we think, I must understand and then I can trust. And it's right. Not true. You are fully equipped to trust even when you don't understand. So it's not easy, but sometimes we have to relinquish that part of us that wants everything explained and just say, where are you, God? Show yourself to me. Show me evidence of your love. And the analogy that you'll have heard me use sometimes is, you know, our instinctive prayer is always, God, would you airlift me out of the crisis?
Yes.
And he does. We call them miracles. But more often, he parachutes in and joins us, right. Which is Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. So it's that, where are you? Oh, God is with me in the MRI tube. God is with me on the day that I lose the job that I felt he'd given me. Somehow I find his presence with me.
Yeah, you know, my experience has been, and this will sound cheap unless you've experienced it, and then it will make sense, but that the things I've endured so far in my life are endurable if I can find Jesus in them with me.
Yeah.
It's like the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Like, I think somehow, yeah, when you put me in that fire, I'm going to be delivered.
Yeah.
But even if I'm not, I know there's a fourth in the fire, yeah, right? And if I can know God's presence in it with me. So I had someone say to me once, everything you experience is an invitation to intimacy with Jesus. Yeah. It just, if you ask that question where, yeah, you can meet Jesus in a deeper way in circumstances you'd never choose.
Yeah, and sometimes it's messy because it's very easy to sort of sentimentalize suffering. Of course, and yeah, mostly suffering just makes me want to eat a lot of Big Macs and sin. You know, it's like, right, it's not necessarily, if people want to turn those who suffer into saints so that they can feel like it'll never happen to them.
Yeah.
It's just humanity. Mm-hmm. But some of that intimacy is like Jacob wrestling with God.
Right.
You know, I've talked very openly about the night that I really prayed more irreverently than I ever had done before and said to God, I know I'm supposed to pray, not my will, but yours be done for Sammy. And I said, no deal. I don't care what your will is. God, let me tell you what my will is. My will is that my wife doesn't die. My will is that my kids know their mom. My will is whatever you've got on your heavenly wall planner, I don't care. I'm going to fight you for it. And I was weeping and angry. And for many weeks afterwards, I felt ashamed because I felt in my darkest moment that instead of praying the really Jesus, you know, not my will, but yours, I prayed the opposite. I just thought, I'm just not a very good Christian. And God's so kind. And eventually he spoke to me one day and he said, you know that prayer? I said, yeah, I'm sorry. He said, I loved it. He said, I loved that you're willing to fight for your wife. I wanted you to fight for your wife. And so sometimes the intimacy with God is a wrestling,
yeah,
and an honest lament and a willingness to, we're too good at Christianity, you know, just to be a human being,
yeah,
with my maker. Some. Yeah, we have to reframe the question.
Everything we experience is an invitation into intimacy with Jesus. Reframe the question, why? To where are you? Choose to trust God. Things that we experience that are painful, that cause us to suffer, can be the agent of deep transformation. Daily bread is God in the muck of life with us. God with us. Understanding our pain, sharing our sorrow, joining us in our suffering. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. With us in our suffering, we cannot experience hope and faith and love without experiencing doubt and despair and pain. Unanswered prayer brings us to a place where we must decide, where does my will stop and yours begin, God? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Saviour and my God. Trust in the face of suffering is defiant, courageous choice. A decision to receive all of life as a gift. How do you reach this place? Daily bread. Establish habits that focus our attention on God and worship, because habits shape our desires. We have to learn how to let go of control and avoid practices that shape us as consumers, because prayer is not transactional. It's not technique-driven. It's not a reward for a right approach or a right lifestyle. Our prayers come from this temporal, personal experience of creation, and our prayers are received in the eternal reality of God, and they shape our future reality. Because our prayers and our tears are not wasted. God collects both and He treasures them. We read in Revelation 5:8, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And in Psalms 56:8, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your record? Every prayer, every tear will be used to bring about redemption and become the foundation of a better world. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. In the end, every prayer is answered. Daily bread. This pantry staple that is in every home is a reminder of the relationship that God wants to have with us. It's a reminder to trust Him with our daily needs. Rejoice always. Pray. pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So let's now come into a time where we're going to just come to God. We're going to be honest with Him. There are things where He has disappointed us, and we can come to Him with that. So on the screen, there are five things that we're going to do in the next 5 minutes. We're going to be still and become aware of who God is and where He is. We're going to tell God what's going on in our lives and share how we're feeling. And we're going to invite God to show us how He is loving us right now. And we're going to finish by thanking Him for what He is doing and what He will do. Let's come now before God.